Welcome to Power Your Profits Podcast, your friendly guide in bringing your business revenue to the next level. Listen as host Dr. Susie Carter hears inspiring stories of success from her fellow entrepreneurs and transformational leaders. Prepare to make significant change to your strategies as they unravel the secrets of building multi-million dollar businesses and the most effective tips on finance, marketing, and sales accountability. If you want to take your first steps towards explosive business growth, this podcast is for you. Without further ado, here is your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome to this episode of Power Your Profit Podcast. I'm your host, Susie, and today's guest is going to take your boring presentations and wow them. Oh my gosh, I was wowed with the free gift. So you will be so excited. So Johnny is a webinar presenter to deliver the maximum engagement and maximum effort. He can help you with your conversions to 3x them. Right? Your webinar conversions. He has the pleasure of working with subject matter experts from around the world, and he's giving valuable points, juicy content. So please welcome my guest, Johnny. Johnny, thank you so much. I'm so excited for our tribe to meet you. This is probably one of those things I just want to poke my eye out with a needle when I see some people's presentations. So let everybody know your magic and what you do in your business and what makes you unique and amazing.
Well, thank you for that great intro. It's a pleasure to be here. I kind of lead by example. I help people address the elephant in the room, really, which is how they can turn up in a way that does them justice when they turn on the camera, in a way that's professional, engaging, a little bit of fun. It's interactive. It's not death by PowerPoint. That's what we help people to avoid. And I show people how to set up a simple studio, irrespective of the size of their room or the size of their budget, so that they can, be more engaging and generate more business, essentially. So, and people don't tune out when they're presenting and lose all those sales. So, yeah, that's what I love to do. And people also use the very same setup for creating more professional online courses faster as well. So you can use what I teach for a multitude of things.
I love it. Well, and I love you give resources too, right? Your list bomb, right? So if you want the list, stick around because we're going to show you how to get the list. And I'm talking comprehensive. It's not like here's five things, right? It's like blown away. So I love that you come with value, like you value add even before we've, you know, anyone's paid you anything, which I love, right? That's your heart, your commitment to make a difference, right? To it's that try before you buy, but you take it next level.
Yeah, I guess one of the biggest struggles I had, and as I worked through it and started to get into this, more and more people agreed as well. They have the big struggle with what do I buy? You know, there's so much choice out there, and choice is great. But too much choice can lead to a little bit of confusion. Do I get this microphone? Do I get this camera? Do I get this light, etc.? So, yeah, the list serves people at different levels, again, down to their budget and what they're looking to do. Nobody needs everything on the list unless you do what I do, and then you wouldn't be needing the list because you'd be doing what I'm doing, right? So, people say, you know, the list is comprehensive. It is, but it's just to give you options. You know, there's no more than two or three options per item, particularly around the microphones and lights and stuff like that. And they're all key. And you can upgrade over time, but I've kept it at a reasonable level. I don't suggest that people skimp on a bad or inexpensive cheap microphone or cheap camera because they just don't work properly.
Right.
And you're just going to end up throwing them out, right? So there's a couple of things that I suggest that if budget allows, please invest in a good microphone and a good camera and then reasonable lights. And you can go from there in time, you know?
Exactly. Well, it's where I love that the list is comprehensive because it gives you choice as you grow, right? Mm-hmm. And I think so many people struggle with this conversation.
You're listening to another episode of Power Your Profits Podcast. We'll be right back after a quick word from our sponsors. Overwhelmed by the complexity of business profit strategies? Jump aboard the Bullet Train to Big Profits course, a streamlined solution by Dr. Susie Carter. This course is designed to uncomplicate the path to profitability. Imagine being able to identify and execute profit strategies with ease, skyrocketing your revenues. Visit course.poweryourprofits.com and sign up for the Bullet Train to Big Profits course today. Are you tired of pouring resources into strategies that don't work? Say hello to Dr. Susie Carter, your future fractional COO. With Dr. Susie in your corner, your business can skyrocket to seven figures and beyond. With a track record of creating thriving businesses, trust that you are in good hands. Head over to COO.poweryourprofits.com and let us put some magic into your business growth.
So what are some hacks that we can do to make our presentations more engaging? And I love the title, right? It's 3X. You know, it's let's 3X your webinar conversion. Every 1X, my clients would be happy. So let's talk about some hacks that you have, some strategy you have. So let's talk about that. Kind of share those with us.
Yeah, the key one would be pattern interrupt or state change, which means that, again, we're looking to avoid death by PowerPoint, where our webinar is like too many webinars, where it's slide after slide. And the presenter is, hold on now till I share my slides. Can you see my screen? And they disappear up into the corner. And it's then slide after slide. And if they want to come back full screen, they got to grab the mouse and they got to move things around. So what I do is I use a switch, a simple Stream Deck switch, and I can transition to the slides with the click of a button. I don't even, you know, break eye contact. If I want to be down in the corner of the slides, I press a button and I end up down in the corner of the slide. So, you know, it really is a powerful piece of kit. You know, if I want to be in a white background, if I want to be large beside the slides, and I can continue to present, no problem. You know, I can see it in my teleprompter, what slide I'm on, and then I can disappear without even breaking eye contact and keep presenting. I can come back full screen and say, is this making sense? And then go back into the slides. And away I go. So it's all pretty cool and engaging, because the challenge is, Susie, that they say that for certain webinars and a lot of webinars, over 60% of people don't stay to the end. So if they don't stay to the end of the webinar, they're not going to see your amazing offer. And if they don't see the offer, they can't take up on the offer. So, you know, if only half the people who register turn up and then over half of those don't stay to the end, we're losing a lot of money. That's the long and the short of it. We're just losing a lot of sales. So we need to be engaging, we need to be professional, and we need to make it as effortless for us, which makes it enjoyable, as the webinar presenter, or if it's one-to-one coaching, or if it's a small group where you're running a mastermind. It works for all of the above, where you look and sound professional, it's effortless engagement, and everybody has a good time.
And so what do you see the biggest mistakes that we're doing in these webinars and presentations?
Yeah, I mean, some of the basics is down to equipment. I mean, if I take out my phone and I turn off the lights, I mean, people end up like they're in a witness protection program. Okay, it's just a silhouette of themselves and you're not even sure who they are. And the audio is so poor that you can't recognize their voice. So get a couple of lights like you have and light up that beautiful face so that people can see you, that you look sharp. You look crisp and clear. And then that gives you a little bit of confidence as well, because if you don't look good, you know, if you're having a bad hair day, which is most days for me, but if you're having a bad hair day, you don't feel good in yourself. Whereas if the hair is good and you've got your power outfit on and you're going out and people compliment you on how you look, it kind of, you know, gives us that energy and makes us feel good. So it's important that we can be seen clearly. It's really important that we can be heard, even more important. At least if we can be heard, people will put up a little bit with a poor picture. But if they can't hear you, there's no point in being on the meeting. It's like being on a cell phone call and you're in bad service and all you can, I'll call you back, right? You just go, I'll call you back. You're in bad service or I'm in bad service, I'll call you back. So it's the same thing. If they can't hear you, then they're just going to tune out. And then after that, you're looking at simple pattern interrupt techniques. Okay, so I mean, the main one would be transitioning nicely to the slides and continuing to present. This is just a simple slide I walk people through for setting up a simple studio. And then, you know, if you want to come into the presentation, you can be right beside it and continue to present. If you want to go back to full screen, and this is all one camera. This camera and this scene, as we call it, is the same camera. And with a little bit of practice, you don't even break eye contact. There's a teleprompter right in front of me where I can see you, but I'm making eye contact with the camera all the time. It's when we start to look down and fumble around that we break engagement. I mean, if you were to meet somebody on the street and you were talking to them and they were like, you know, you're like, hey, I'm here, you know, look into my eyes. You know, be romantic. So be romantic in your presentations and look into your audience's eyes and win them over with your presentation. There are some simple things. Get the camera like you have right up to eye level. Do not turn up down here. Do not turn up with your kind of head kind of half cut off. So the rule of thirds, where your kind of nose or your mouth is somewhere around the middle and the eyes is a little bit further up. Okay, you don't want to be too far either way. So the Stream Deck switch is right here on the desk. So it's pre-programmed with a couple of different things, like my slides is this button, and then I can go back to another camera to show you a teleprompter. So it's a Stream Deck and some simple software that's pre-programmed. So if I want to make money fall from the sky, I can hit that button. If I want to bring down a, a countdown timer that the webinar offer, you know, you add a little bit of urgency to your buyer. Say, guys, don't forget, there's a limit time-wise on this offer and the clock is there. You can bring in a little bit of B-roll. I use this all the time. Say, is this how you feel when you think about going on camera? Let me show you how you can overcome this fear. So, you know, that sticks out a lot more than a photograph or an image on a slide. So, you know, for your main webinar, you can pre-program the switch, combine that with some inexpensive software, and the magic just kind of happens with a little bit of practice and the right setup. We have the green screen, of course, to make things even more immersive. So, for example, you can do, if you're teaching social media, now you wouldn't leave that background there all the time because it's just too busy, but it has a massive impact. If I want to show off my upcoming book, for example, I can hit a button and voila, you know, there it is. My book called Say It Once, Sell It Often about online course creation is coming out soon as well. So you can have lots of things at the ready if you're networking, if you're presenting, if you're doing one-to-one coaching, all that good stuff is right there at your fingertips with a little bit of practice and some inexpensive software.
Well, I've been doing this for a long time and you blow me away, right? Because I'm at the game and it's taken me years to learn how to keep engagement. And I'm excited because I'm like, I don't have that. And I'm such a me too girl. I'm like, well, I have to be cutting edge like Johnny because it's cutting edge, right? It isn't death by PowerPoint. So I love that you showed us, right? There's that saying, teach me, I'll forget. Show me, I may remember, but involve me and I'll know, right? Because sure. Even when I watched your video, I'm like, well, what's switch look like? And what's that? And what? I'm not technology savvy. So how technology savvy do I need to be in order to make this work for me?
Yeah, I often say to people, you know, it's not easy, but it's a lot easier than you think. And I invite people to think back of when they got their first laptop or smartphone or learned how to drive or learned a musical instrument, particularly driving as an example, you know, for people who drive. It's pretty daunting, you know, you got your feet going on and your hands going on and mirrors and stuff like that. And now we drive to work and we mightn't remember. Yeah, exactly. We mightn't even remember going through a particular town or taking a particular turn because, you know, we don't recommend it, but we're kind of at it so long, we're doing it a little bit subconsciously. So a little bit of practice. I mean, when you see the results where people actually double their sales because more people
stay again. I was going to ask you your closing ratio when you started this. So I don't know if you just heard that because I'm going to interrupt you. My pattern interrupt is I'm going to interrupt you. Is yes. Double your sales by adding some technology.
Yeah, so if you have a 10% conversion on your webinar, or even 5 or 10, and because too many people are not staying until the end. If you can excite them and look professional, in other words, when they turn up on the webinar and immediately they're like, now this is sharp. Mm-hmm. This person looks like somebody that knows what they're talking about and they've made an effort. They've been respectful. They haven't just turned up with the bathrobe hanging on the door in Portland.
In the background.
No. Yeah, exactly. You know, and whatever, right? So, and I do think respect is important. We wouldn't do it offline. We wouldn't invite somebody into our bedroom to do a sales meeting with the bathrobe hanging on the door and the dinner on the table or whatever it might be. So I think there's an element of respect as well. So they turn up and immediately they go, now this is different. Mm-hmm. And then as you present and you go through your slides and you flick a button and next thing you're in the slides and you're not going, hold on till I share my slides and none of that stuff. You know, that's all gone. And then you turn up beside your slides almost like a TED talk or whatever it might be. And you're walking through your presentation and you're saying, is this make sense? And then you go back to the slides and they're just loving the energy and the flow and how prepared it all looks. And then if you want to go over to a whiteboard, if you want to, sometimes people say to me, Johnny, can you tell me more about your lights? And I say, well, I've got two lights. Let's say I'm standing on the X and this is an aerial view. They're pointing at me at 45 degrees. One is at 90% and one is at 60. And you know what? They always say, now I get it. Now that you just threw it out for me live, I get it. Okay. And again, it's a form of pattern interrupt where you're going from pre-prepared slides, which are great, but you're drawing it out with them. For the visual learner, they go, now I get it. As I see you draw it out, I get it. So switching to the whiteboard, which is essentially, if I switch over, a little $50 sketch pad bolted to my desk, because if it was an iPad, it would just disappear. The kids would take it or I would bring it home and forget it. I mean, you do have to look at the screen while you're writing, so there's a little bit of practice there, but I never forget it because it never leaves here. And it was only $50 with a $20 stand.
Yeah.
So everything I need is within arm's reach. And, you know, so that kind of framework and that workflow and that kind of really simple systematic approach to it just makes it so enjoyable for you. And that enjoyment comes through and it makes a more enjoyable event. And that's why we double our sales. And in most cases, people have trebled. Genuinely, they've gone from 10% to 30%. I've hit 50% in a webinar on this topic because we had so much fun and because people understood the importance of it. It doesn't happen all the time, but to be able to get 50% conversion on a $497 course, you know, is phenomenal.
Right.
So, it doesn't really matter what you're selling. If you've got engagement, you look prepared, you look professional, it's all very polished and slick without too many elephants in the room. I mean, you don't want to take away from the message. So like sometimes an example of pattern interrupt would be, I would appear from behind the red velvet curtains if I'm talking at a virtual summit. And I might come on to tremendous applause and I'd say, oh, you're too kind. You know, so we kind of have a little bit of fun, but you don't want the magic to take away from the message. So it's a nice balance between making sure you're on point with what you're teaching, what you're sharing, what you're delivering, and combine that nicely with what we call pattern interrupt, so we avoid that snooze fest, which is death by PowerPoint.
Well, I love it because I have a lot of the same things. I don't have my lights on my camera. I'm like next level, but I have a noisemaker on my phone, so it's kind of mine's kind of bubblegum, shoestring, Band-Aid, duct tape. I think when I was watching your video, I'm like, how do you do that so fast? How do you do that so fast? How do you do that so fast? So I think there you are in the next level. And when I'm doing a live event, I hire an AV team. And so they take it to the next level, but I'm kind of held hostage on their schedule. I got to check their schedule, my schedule, you know, making sure he's available, making sure he's on, because he's not always on. I'll have to go, John, I love you, but where are you? Right. Oh, he went pee and I need something right now. Like, that is not professional, you know, and it happens.
Exactly.
For small businesses. So I love it.
Yeah. I mean, you hit the nail on the head there from the point of view that you really are self-sufficient in going live or indeed making promo videos, going live on LinkedIn, going live on Facebook, making courses. You really are self-sufficient in having your own little simple studio. and you are your own production person, because without even, as I say, breaking eye contact, you know, I know that this is me full screen, and I know the one beside it is me beside the slides. And if you did nothing else but switch between those two, and probably the third one would be slides only, that's, you would be in the top 1% of some of the best webinar presenters in the world.
Right.
With three little switches, some inexpensive software, a little bit of practice. And then, you know, if you do want, to move it on from there, like things like, you know, somebody pointing at you while you're presenting or whatever it might be. Yeah, in time, you can download a little bit of B-roll, remove the background, because all that B-roll that I show there is on green screen. And then, you can have a little bit more fun with it, for sure. I mean, even, you know, have yourself walking by as you're presenting. People are like, did he just walk by himself?
Does he have a twin?
Yes. Oh, God, no.
So
one is enough.
What are some of the lessons you learned the hard way? Like, I think we want to do it, we don't do it. So what's been some of the lessons that you've learned the hard way?
Yeah, I love the saying that sometimes good enough is good enough. But when it comes to this, when I look back, it wasn't good enough. Mm-hmm. I didn't appreciate the importance of lighting. You know, to be that specific, I just thought, sure, the roof light, the ceiling lights or the window, it'll be fine. But you've no control over those. And it's not that flattering when it's coming down from above. Yeah. So that's a very simple one. I just skimped on, I'll get lights down the road, I'll whatever. And I tried to do it on the cheap. And I can assure you, I can show you footage from years ago that makes me laugh and cry at the same time. Because...
Was it the character?
And the square, it's like, so the L80s look. So the 80s look in the 90s. So I probably tried to skimp too much, probably as much for my clients as myself, that I thought, you know, if I can get it, if I can show them that it's not expensive, that's really cheap, let's say, to get going, and it still is, but there's a level, okay? There's a level.
Yeah.
So that's probably some of the lessons that I learned. I find the sit-standing desk has been a game changer as well. You know, if you're delivering a lot, and if standing is an option, of course, you know, that certainty you get from standing, if you're delivering a webinar, and the way you can use the very same equipment for sitting down as standing up, because the whole thing goes down with you when you want to sit down or stand up. That's been a good one. It's healthier as well, I guess, if we're sitting in the office a lot, which we are doing. The teleprompter, if I just point at it here, actually, you're inside the teleprompter. So that's how we make eye contact in interviews and one-to-ones. But the teleprompter has been really good as well from the point of view of scripting online courses. The key, of course, is to not sound scripted, but, you know, I'd say, oh no, I'll turn on the camera now and I'll just record. 3 minutes, no problem. I've been doing this for 20 years.
Right.
As soon as the camera comes on, it's like, I didn't mean to say that, or you should have said this. So the scripting and the teleprompter, once you don't sound scripted, which comes with practice and a few tips, the teleprompter has been great as well. A second monitor is really important with all of this as well. So your laptop on a second screen or a desktop with two monitors makes a massive difference as well.
Huge difference. I have like three, right?
Yeah.
My command center, so that I'm not fumbling with my, I'm like, I can't fumble. I got to focus.
Yeah.
Right.
Especially and even from a productivity point of view as well, like you could have an email open on one screen and somebody's looking for, you want to have your calendar open on the other, because you're looking at podcast dates or whatever it might be, and the third screen has something else on it. Massive addition to the whole workflow and productivity. Yeah, even outside of all this video stuff.
Yeah, I find that I have a stand-up desk as well, and I find that it just makes my energy, right? If you get too comfortable sitting down, especially when you're selling, you would never sit down in a presentation unless you're on a panel or you're doing some kind of Q&A. We don't sit down, right? We stand up because we're generating that energy.
And sure. And sitting. Sitting is the new smoking, they say. So, you know, it's great for health as well, just to, even in general, day-to-day operational stuff, that we stand for maybe half an hour sometimes and then sit again. And yeah, so it's great.
Yeah, shift that energy. Mm. So let's talk a little bit about your business, right? Because you've been doing this for 20 years, lots of experience. And so building a business and using this technology, right? What would you say, like looking back in the 20 years, what was your biggest failure, right? In any part of your business, right? And then what'd you learn from that?
Yeah, I guess I was lucky. I'm kind of looking back probably a little bit unlucky from the point of view that the luck came with word of mouth, okay? So I got a lot of business from word of mouth. But when the mouth start talking about somebody else, or, you know, we've no control over it. So I didn't invest in paid advertising to make sure that I had more control over the amount of leads that were coming in, rather than just relying on word of mouth. Now, there are lots of businesses out there who cannot keep up with the amount of referrals that they get, and that's great. But it can be risky, particularly if you're a smaller business and you don't have that onslaught of repeatable referrals coming from lots and lots of people who just love you, right? So I should have built up and had more control over and expertise in running profitable ad campaigns, be it YouTube, be it Facebook, wherever, you know, Google Ads back in the day, etc., into a funnel that was working, so that I knew if I needed to turn up revenue, I could just turn up the ads, so that I, you know, that I had mastered a funnel that converted profitably. And that's probably one of the things that I'm still working with. And you can run up against some problems with the powers that be, Facebook ads and them blocking accounts and stuff like that. But I would urge people to definitely, if they haven't already, get a handle on more control of where the cold traffic that you can warm up with your lead magnets, where they're coming from, and that they're coming to you on an ongoing basis.
Yeah, it's huge, right? And I think I don't believe in set it and forget it. Like, that's never worked for me. I've been doing this for 30 years. It's never, there is no forget it, right? You're always kind of tweaking and tuning and making that happen. So, Johnny, what's one thing in business you want to be remembered for?
On the online course creation side, I'd love people with expertise in whatever area they're an expert in to turn it into an online course or program, if they haven't done it already, so that they have more freedom. Okay, so for me, one of my biggest value is freedom. I get to visit people in the local retirement home every Friday because I'm not tied to a 9-to-5. And it's kind of mutually therapeutic, because it reminds me that I'm not going to be around forever. It reminds me to look after my health. But for them, I play cards, play maybe a little bit of poker, no money involved. But they get to, we sing songs together, and they get to relive their lives when I ask them about things from their past. Mm. So, you know, we're here to make memories more than money, I hope. So I would love people to, I guess, appreciate time and have financial freedom and independence, so that they can do things that, for me anyway, are far more fulfilling than any money. You know, that thank you. When I say see you next week, and a guy might say, you know, with the help of God, and even now, the familiar faces are beginning to smile when I walk in because they know they're going to get a game of cards. Not that the staff don't do it either.
Right.
So for me, that freedom to be able to have the flexibility to go and do these things that are far more fulfilling, as I say, than the finance. I want that for other people. I think if I always remember my mom would say, respect your elders. You know, you will be old someday yourself. So, God, sorry. But I'd love that for people.
Mm-hmm. And why does that make you tear up?
It's just when I see them, that they don't have people coming to visit.
Yeah.
I just think it's unfortunate. It's an unfortunate way to end your days. You know, and they mightn't be, in some cases, they may be nonverbal. In some cases, they have dementia. So they're having conversations from years ago and you just have to go with it.
Yeah.
But, you know, so, yeah, I guess, you know, when you see it firsthand, it's like, it's pretty sad in a way that that's how some people finish out their life. So I think the more dignity we can give them, and the staff, of course, are key to all of this, and they do great work. But I think, like, it's half an hour of a week, sometimes more. I don't think it's a lot, but they get so much from it. And I think people who volunteer and do it get a lot from it too. So, yeah. So that's what I want for people, to have financial freedom. And teaching, I think, is quite fulfilling as well. When people say to me, you know, my webinars are converting more, which means I'm not worried as much about college fees for my kids as I used to be. Like, that's quite fulfilling for me as well. And it makes a big difference in their lives because they look more professional and they're getting a better conversion. So there's lots of fulfillment on both sides. But, you know, as they make more courses and stop exchanging time for money, they can do more fulfilling things.
I love that. So when you work with people, so they can do a webinar, right? That's how I first met, like, saw your presentation. Mm. Was our gifts, right? So we do have an interactive guide that you're going to give people. It's going to be in the show notes. It's a long URL, so I won't say the whole thing. So it's in the show notes, and you can click that. And it's robust. It's a juicy gift. I will say that. It's a juicy gift. And so do you work with clients one-on-one? Do they come to a training? Kind of tell us how you work.
Yeah, for the studio setup, in a lot of cases, it's primarily one-to-one because everybody's got different needs or different budgets or different room size. I am doing less one-to-one, but I'm definitely happy to have a introductory call with people and see if there is a fit. What I would prefer people to do is go through the pre-recorded courses, which is one is simple studio setup, just to get comfortable with the gear. And then the second course then is presentation transformation, where they can make an elephant appear in the room, or as an example, or whatever they want to do in terms of pattern interrupt. And if they still need me, and they may not when they go through the two programs, if they still need me, sometimes they hire me as their creative producer to say, I love the elephant in the room. Here's my webinar message and content. What would you throw in there if you were me? And I would say, well, I would probably use this piece of B-roll. Here's an example. So I sometimes become their creative producer one-to-one. So it's either one-to-one or courses. We are looking at moving into a group mastermind. So it's kind of a group one-to-one, let's say, where you do get to ask your specifics and everybody's learning from each other.
I love it. So you can go to his website, right? That's in our show notes as well. And Johnny, thank you. What's one question you wish I would have asked you?
A lot of people ask, do I need a lot of money and a lot of room? And you need neither. I mean, you need a couple hundred dollars to get started with the gear. And when people say, how much space do you operating? I say, put out your two hands and do a twirl. I can just about touch the camera and just about touch the green screen. So and the lights are either side. So, you know, pretend you're Wonder Woman and go, don't knock anything over, but get up and do a twirl. Go up and do a twirl, kind of like 2 meters square. Okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the office is a bit bigger than that. But in terms of the footprint of the desks / studio, about 2 meters square. So you don't need a lot of space, and you can start with a couple of hundred dollars for equipment. And in time, you know, you can upgrade. What I tend to do is, if people don't have the money immediately, buy the other, you know, buy what's recommended on the list. And then in time, if you upgrade, donate your microphone to the school or use it as a spare. So you'll always get or put it on eBay and get some money back, whatever, or give it to a charity. So there's ways to meaningfully upgrade over time. But a lot of the gear I have that I still have today is years old because there's very little moving parts. So it does stand the test of time as well.
Yeah, mine too. You know, I bought a teleprompter, invested heavy in the beginning, once I knew what to buy, and I'm still using it. Still great. I've upgraded my lights. I used to have the big, huge box lights.
Yeah.
In the day, because that's what was available, right?
Exactly.
Now I have some sexy lights. Your lights are sexy as well. So you want to download the gift. It's a free interactive guide called The Presentation Transformation. And we will put the link in the show notes for you. Johnny, thank you so much. I learned a ton just going through that. And
my pleasure.
Know you before our interview, which I love. Thank you for your heart, and thank you for your commitment to serving our community, not just this community, but the community, our elder community, right? We need more human beings like you, Johnny. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for the opportunity. It's been fun.
Now, if you know that you have clients that need this and you want to share this, please put it on your social media. I'm sure Johnny will not mind that we share this message. Somebody needs this. You might have it handled, but it takes years to learn how to do this, and Johnny can teach you how to do it with the guide and then going into his courses. So we're your partners in your business. You're in business for yourself, not by yourself. I'm Susie Carter, and you've met Johnny today. Let's make your presentations wow. Let's take it to the next level. I know I am, and have a blessed day.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Power Your Profits Podcast. Let these building blocks from today's most successful industry leaders equip you with the necessary resources and tools to finally establish the highly profitable business of your dreams. Want to hear more? Listen to more episodes at www.poweryourprofitspodcast.com. And don't forget to subscribe to the show. Now is your time to rise to the top of your game. So be sure to catch our next episode. Until next time.